So the reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through to 21. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the word of the Lord. You love me, you will keep my commandments. I think we generally, maybe not, but I think I in the past have often heard these words as, if you love me, well, you say you love me, but do what I command if you really mean it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Prove you love me by keeping my commandments. It's kind of a heavy way of hearing those words, isn't it? The future tense of that word, you will keep, we hear as a command. And this makes Jesus' words about loving him and keeping his commandments at the beginning and at the end of the reading today somewhat daunting and in a way discouraging. But as you can guess, I don't think that's how we should read Jesus' words here or hear what he's saying. There's a flow right through this passage of present and future tenses. And I think that flow of present tense and future tense points to a better understanding. So we had present and future in that statement. If you love me, that's if you love me now, you will keep my commandments, future. And there's that right through this passage, there's this flow of present and future tenses. And I think when we get this, then we see that rather than being words of command or demand, they need to be read as words of promise. This whole discourse of Jesus from John 14 onwards is all about the promises of God that are being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus is speaking to his disciples on the night that they're going to betray him. And he's wanting them to know, really, that they're not to be worried and not to let their hearts be troubled. They're not to be anxious because, in a way we say it today, Jesus says, "I've got this." Things are safe and secure. So the passage begins, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then in verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And in between and just after those statements, we have a large central part of this passage that doesn't deal at all with commandments or proving your love. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. It's a passage that deals with how we know God loves us. And that's what Jesus is promising to do into the future. So Jesus in verse 12, he said this, verse 14, if you ask me any, verse 13, where am I? Verse 12, he says, I'm going to the Father. So Jesus is on the cusp of a journey back to his Father. That's what he's telling them here. And he's already told them he's going to the Father to prepare a place for them. Not that he's trying to, remember, he's not trying to get the Father on side. He's trying to make, he's going to make it possible for us to be there, to work a change in us. And so he's going to the Father, he says here, isn't him abandoning them? I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Yeah, thanks guys. It's great having some time with you, but I'm off now. He's not saying that. In fact, he's saying he's going to the Father, he's going to be there for them. That's why he's going there. And he says, he's just said in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to the Father, whatever you ask in my name, that this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So he's going to the Father, and when he's with the Father, whatever we ask in his name, Jesus will do that. So he's not abandoning, his being with the Father is for us. He says it here. No, he doesn't. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit here, sorry. Jesus, you see, is going to the Father as our advocate. Not to get the Father on side, but because we need him there for us, because of us. So he goes there as our advocate. He's gone there to help us. And in particular, as our advocate with the Father, he's going to send another advocate. Jesus will send the Holy Spirit from the Father to, as a helper to dwell with us. So, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then Jesus is saying, look, this is what I'm about to do. This is what I'm going to do into the future. I'm leaving now. I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit to you as your helper and your advocate. And even more, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. So he's saying to his disciples here, I'm leaving, but I will be with the Father and you will be in me with the Father, just as I and the Father indwell one another. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? He's actually saying that I'm going in order that where I am, you can be. And not just in terms of place, but relationship. I'm going and I'm, the Father is in me and I'm in him, and I'm going there and you will be there too. You will know the love of the Father the way that I know the love of the Father, he's saying to them. You will be included in everything that the Father and I have together. It's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. And so the gift of the Holy Spirit is just a most wonderful gift. When the Holy Spirit comes to dwell forever with those who love Jesus, he will enable us to know the truth that Jesus is in the Father and the Father in him, and that we are, and that Jesus is in us and that we are in him. The Spirit will come to all of us who love Jesus and bring us into the embrace of the Father and the Son. He's saying that to the disciples. That's what the Spirit, that's what I will do, the future. That's the future I have for you. Those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and will show myself to them. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. So, when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, you've got to attach that future to the other, to the rest of the future that Jesus is talking about. It's not a future that Jesus is demanding we reach. It's a future that Jesus is giving us in his ascension to the Father and the outpouring of the Spirit. In other words, this future obedience to the disciples is Jesus' gift. It's his gift to them. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's the outflow of the future gift to them by the Father at Jesus' request of the empowering indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, once we're caught up, when Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in him and he is in us and we're in Jesus, that means that we're caught up into Jesus' relationship with his Father. We'll know the love of God as Jesus knows that love, and we'll respond to the love of the Father as Jesus responds. We will be obedient to the Father as Jesus is, was, whatever the right tense is. Jesus, loved by his Father, was always under command. I was really trying to work out what's the, because under command has a kind of a about it, doesn't it? He was in the Father's commands. He always did not his own will, but the will of him who sent him. In John 10, he says about the coming laying down of his life at the cross, this charge I've received from my Father. So the cross was Jesus' loving obedience to the Father who loved him. That's quite something, isn't it? Like the cross is in some ways the greatest act of love we've ever seen. And what it is, it's the Father loving his Son and the Son loving his Father. It looks like the opposite, doesn't it? But actually the Father has given a charge to his Son is delighted to fulfil it, and the Father sustains him through that great trial that the cross was. In John 12, we find that really the whole of Jesus' teaching ministry was under the command of the Father. So he says this in John 12, 49 and 50. I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So when you hear, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, does that sound like eternal life to you? Which, that's how it sounds to Jesus. He hears the Father's commands, and that's the fullness of life. That's all that life should be. What I say, therefore, he says, I say as the Father has told me. The disciples' future obedience, you will keep my commandments, when seen in this light, is more promise than requirement. It's as certain as Jesus' own promises about what he will do, because it is actually a promise about what Jesus will do. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will so work in you that you will find the Father's commands to be eternal life, and you'll do them. Our obedience is the outcome of what Jesus promises to do. In bringing us into the same love of the Father that he knows through the gift of the Spirit, in bringing us into the same love of the Father that he knows, through the gift of the Spirit, he will bring us into the same love for and obedience to the Father that marks the whole of his own life. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, Jesus here is speaking to his disciples just before, it's on the night that he's going to be betrayed and handed over. This is part of his farewell discourse, is what scholars call it. And he's preparing his disciples for what will happen. But we are reading these words after it's all happened. So what is future tense for the disciples here is actually now present tense for us. Jesus has gone to the cross. He has ascended to the Father. He is making intercession for us, and he is pouring out the Spirit upon us. So what for the disciples was something to look forward to into the future is actually now ours now. The Holy Spirit has been given. We have come to know the love of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us, this free gift of grace poured out through Jesus Christ, who has dealt with all of our sin and finished that off and started a whole new future for us. So Jesus' words, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," are not for us about a distant future. Jesus is actually describing life for us now. You love me, you're keeping my commandments. That's what's happening. This is an obedience that we can, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, exercise right now. Our obedience is the fruit of Jesus going to the Father. This Thursday is Ascension Day, and so 40 days after the resurrection. Gosh, that's gone quickly, hasn't it, since Easter? And our obedience is the fruit of that great ascension and outpouring then of the Spirit. This obedience is genuine obedience. We're not box tickers, are we, as Christians? Okay, where's my to-do list? Yeah, done it all. I can go and do something else now. And it's not begrudging this obedience. Our obedience, which is the fruit of Jesus' great work, is the obedience of the love that's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Any obedience without love is not really worth the name obedience. So, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I meant to do it and I didn't. I was going to write down everything in John that Jesus commands. But what do you think of when you think of John? What are the commandments that Jesus gives in that John records for us, either in the gospel or in the letters?
Love.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Is it John where it's, you know, the work I give you is to believe in?
That's right, yeah. This is the work of God, to believe in him and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That's the work of God. What must we be doing to do the works of God? Believe in me. Love one another. Love Jesus. I guess believing in Jesus is loving him. And in his letters, he calls us to walk in the truth and also to patiently endure in the face of difficulties. So they're kind of the things it's worth just... I didn't do the work, so I'm only clutching at straws here. There may be more there. But it's all of it is gifted obedience. The gift of the Holy Spirit, who shows us the love of God and shows us the love that Jesus has for his Father, and then incorporates us, includes us in that great love. It's out of that this obedience comes. It's the fruit of the Spirit in us. The other way we could read that, I think as Christians we have an incredible tendency to read the scriptures either as a program of things we've got to do or as a list of things by which we can condemn ourselves. We have a very great propensity to do this. And so we can say, we can hear these words, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, and hear that, do I really love him? Probably not good enough. Now, when Jesus speaks to the disciples, I don't think he's casting aspersions on their love. He's not saying, yeah, if you love me. I don't think he's doing that. I don't think he doubts their love. He does know in this very section that he's teaching, he does know that they're going to be abject failures within 24 hours, that they're going to desert him. Peter, right at the beginning, just before the beginning of this farewell discourse, has said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus has said, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. So there's a present and a future, isn't there? Peter's saying, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, well, you can't yet, but you will. And he says to him, Peter says to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. And then Jesus says, will you lay down your life for me? That's a very interesting, that's a future, both are speaking in future tense here. Like the immediate future, not a chance. Truly I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. Will you lay down your life for me? And having said that, then the disciples may think, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. He doesn't think we love him. And he does what we tend to do. We turn the promises into demands and then condemn ourselves by them. See, I think that Jesus knows that the disciples love him. It's a very faltering and uncertain and weak love, isn't it? I'm really glad about that. But he knows that it's love. Because he says to them, he keeps contrasting them to the world in this passage, doesn't he? The world cannot receive the Spirit, but you know him, for he dwells with you. So Jesus is walking by the Spirit. And so they know the Spirit because there's Jesus and he will be in you. So there's love there. He says, when the Spirit comes, yet a little while the world will see me no more, but you will see me. So he's distinguishing the disciples from the world in this section. And the thing that distinguishes disciples from the world is what? We love the Lord Jesus. That's the great distinction. We love him. And he loves us. We love him with an undying love somehow. So yes, they love him. But when the Spirit comes and they know the love of God in a way that as yet the disciples can't know, but in a way that we can and do, then we find that we really do love him. After his resurrection, after Jesus has breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel, when they have breakfast at the beach, at the end of John, Peter comes up and asks Jesus a question. Or whether he asked it at the beginning or the end, I can't remember. But anyway, Jesus asks him a question. Simon, son of John, is it? Is it John? Oh, I've been thinking about this all day. I've got it wrong every time. Simon, son of John. There you go. I was unwittingly correct. Story of my life. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Well, feed my sheep. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Not this time more than these. Do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Sorry, I've got the... Well, anyway, the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And it says that Peter was grieved or cut to the heart when Jesus said to him the third time, do you love me? Like, is Jesus expressing doubt there? But I think what Jesus is doing is he's giving Simon, Peter, a great gift of, in a way, walking back his threefold denial. He's, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then this third time, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. That's just a beautiful thing to be able to say, isn't it? Lord, you know everything. Even with the frailties and vacillations of my heart, you know that I love you. It's a very, really wonderful thing that God enables us to say. That is probably the most exquisite experience a human being can have, is to so know the love of God that you know you love him. That is just the very heart of true humanity. You are everything you are meant to be when you love Jesus. And it's God's mercy and forgiveness and grace that we meet in Jesus Christ that is the very thing that turns our heart in love to God. And this love, this revelation of this love, comes to us through the Holy Spirit. We know deeply within our spirits that we're forgiven and that more we're taken to share in God the Father's love as Jesus knows that love. When God says of his Son, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased, through the Spirit we know that now we are included in that, that we are the beloved children that God the Father loves. And we find through the Spirit that we're joined into Jesus' perfect loving of his Father. And it's that very thing then that enables us to go forward on the way of obedience, living in the Father's commands, following the course that our Lord Jesus has set for us. The Lord be with you.